Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with the legend, Don Fry. Bill Burr, who's coming back to Juicy, right?
Oh, yeah, Bill Burr. Here I am. Bill Burr. What's up,
Bill,
guys?
Bill Burr. How you doing? Bill Dawes. I don't even know where I am, to be honest.
That happens a lot sometimes, and it's depressing.
Oh, yes. Here we are. Bill, you come back from jiu-jitsu. That's what's going on?
Yes, I just had a private jiu-jitsu class with my sensei. And, it's just like every day I just realized how bad I suck.
But you're already a black belt, right?
You know, jiu-jitsu is one of the only martial arts where once you get your black belt, you actually end up training more. Most people get their black belt. They're like, I'm good. Yeah, I'm now a pro. And they literally don't touch it again. But jiu-jitsu, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things you just kind of, everyone's doing it until they can't anymore. You know?
Don, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. How long did it take you to get your black belt? How long did it take you to get your black belt?
Well, I got it within a year because I started competing, you know, and from all the wrestling, you know, I started wiping the mat with these guys. And so they had to, because I beat the black belt, so they had to.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who gave you your black belt, Don?
Yeah, I think it did. Huh?
Who gave you your black belt? Who gave
Steve
you the black
Owen,
belt?
My sensei.
Yeah.
Steve Owen, my sensei. Yeah, yeah.
Now, Don, yeah, did anyone ever tap you in practice or no?
Of course. Come on.
I'm sure in practice. Shit. I'm sure. You know? Criminy. I mean, had John Foley, tough Irishman, you know, and Sam Sotelo. You know, they were my sparring partners. So, yeah, they tapped the shit on me, yeah.
So I know we've been on the hiatus for a couple of weeks. I actually booked a TV show. It took me 25 years to finally book a guest star. That was pretty cool.
That's amazing, Adam. It's congrats, man. Seriously.
Thanks, man.
It's a good show too. It's a great show.
Yeah, I did the up show. I did the up shows on Netflix, and it was a fun role. It was me and Mike Epps. We're in a bunch of scenes together. Mike Epps is hilarious. Like Wanda Sykes is on it. Kim Fields.
That's great. So you had a lot of scenes?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had two major scenes.
That's awesome.
So it was, and it was fun. I can't believe how much downtime you have as an actor though. Like you get there 8 o'clock in the morning and then you run your scene. First of all, it was like kind of a live audience. So that was interesting.
Oh, it was.
Having to hold for the laughs. You know, like, cause you know, you go for, you got like, don't do your next line until they're done laughing, which I've never done before, you know, except in stand up comedy, you know, so it's kind of weird being like, oh,
no, I've seen your act. You never have. Yeah.
You don't have to.
No. So it's having to listen to, you're basically listening to laughter, not in the scene, you know, and then being in the scene.
Hold on, sorry. Let me get rid of this.
Thank you. Just when I think that like Don's Wi-Fi like can't get worse, we have barely Wi-Fi. We now have people speaking Portuguese in the background of
Adam. Those were Jews. Come on, you can't hear Yiddish.
Of course, jiu-jitsu.
That's a racist statement, Adam. You're gonna have to take some time off the podcast.
Wait, dude. Adam, were you able to improv at all or add some of your own comedy to it?
No, I'm not. It was only my first time ever as a guest star, so I didn't want to like start fucking around, you know. But it was fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was awesome. I booked it. And then it was one of those things where I was in town for like a day because I got back from Texas from the border from El Paso, and then I had a show. And then I was in town for one day. We had tickets to the Mexican circus. The Mexican circus came into town. There's all these different kind of circuses in our town. There's like the Russian circus that comes, which I'm pretty sure are the same guys as like are like movers. The guys that move because they told us they were the circus too. And then the Mexican circus came to town. So of course I buy tickets for me, Violet, my wife, the friends. And then obviously what happens is we have six bunnies and then they all ran away like right as the circus about to start. So now we're looking for the bunnies all over the backyard.
So
yeah, so we have to go
Adam. So instead of using the border patrol to keep the illegal aliens out of the country, they use your stand up routine.
Yes, I have a show. On the wall. It's actually great. Yeah, they actually paint a brick background. And then they get, you know, that's the thing. Just give me a podium and a microphone. So we go to the Mexican circuit. No. So then I'm next.
And they all go south.
So now I'm next door with my wife and my kid, looking my neighbor's backyard for our bunny. And we like move a rock. And there's, of course, four kittens. There was this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which the mom moved them. But then we ended up finding the bunny. And then going to the Mexican circus. There's also a black circus, but it's not called the black circus. It's called like the soul circus or something. And,
soul circus.
Yeah. And my friend
I
was
love that.
My friend was the MC. I was like, I heard you ran away and joined the black circus. And we had all these jokes that were like,
that's code for P. Diddy's parties, right?
Yes. Have you ever been to one, by the way?
You're talking to Don, not me, obviously.
He ain't talking.
I'm not cool enough to get invited to a P. Diddy party.
Dude, the first time I ever heard of you, Bill, we had the same manager. And at the Laugh Factory, she was like management. And she told me that you got drunk and you were finger banging a chick on the red carpet of a premiere. She's like, Bill Dawes is out of control. Is there any truth to that?
You know, I will neither confirm nor deny the existence of a finger on a red carpet.
Okay.
So. I think I might have done something close to that. I don't know if I actually fingered. I might have been groping.
Oh, groping a chick. So a girl takes you to a
red carpet. A chick. It wasn't a chick. Come on.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. Perfect.
It was Ryan Seacrest. He loves a butt play.
A goat. It was a goat. Yeah, the other guy. It was a guy from Canada. The kid from Canada who ate P. Diddy's ass.
Bieber?
Yeah. Did you read that shit? How fucking disgusting.
Wait, what was it, Don?
I don't need money that fucking bad.
No, I did not read that.
He said he ate P. Diddy's ass and two other guys, you know?
Now, where did you read this, that Justin Bieber ate P. Diddy's ass?
On the fucking internet. He's the one telling the story.
I don't think that Justin Bieber has a story.
Fuck it.
Don, there's no way that there's a video of Bieber saying he ate P. Diddy's ass.
Yeah.
You've heard this?
He didn't use that. He only lightly rimmed it.
Look it up.
He just shuffled circles around the brown spot. Not a full-on tongue in.
I don't need money. I don't need money that bad. I don't need fame that bad. There's no fucking way. I'll get a ring and get my head beat in before I'd do something like that. But
you have to be in the room for this. My wife happens to be doing her makeup in the room right now, and she's hearing all this. It's supposed to be like an MMA podcast. And I told her I needed an hour of nothing, but like I needed to focus. And now we're getting into fucking Bieber eating ass. First, he read it on the internet, and then Bieber said it. There's no interview where Bieber talks about eating P. Diddy's ass.
Look it up, sweetheart. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up.
How dare
YouTube.
You? How dare you not believe Don?
So anyway,
we'll be well.
I had a show over the weekend, by the way, at a dispensary. It was a weed dispensary, and they made an announcement before the show: no cigarette smoking. So like you couldn't even move.
Not.
Like you couldn't see anything. It was just all it was just fog. But cigarette smoking, that was the kicker. Don, you're not a big weed smoker, are you?
Of course. No, Never had any good luck with it, you know?
Yeah. By the way, have you guys heard the John Jones story?
No, that he ate Pete Diddy's ass?
No. What? No, John Jones. Have you guys heard the John Jones story?
What?
So John Jones, there was an article came out on Sunday saying that there's a random drug tester. There's a new drug test. They're not using USADA. They're using someone else. And someone came to his house.
Good.
Someone came to his house, and he threatened to kill the person. Like, hey, man, if you come here.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, I did hear that.
So then that morphed into he got arrested, which then he posted, like, I don't normally, like, deal with this. I did not get arrested. I'm at my daughter's volleyball tournament in Texas. But I did get annoyed that I was – that I think what happened was, like, they woke him up, and he said he did say he was hungover. They woke him up, and he's like, man, people that usually come to my thing, you know, this early in the morning get shot or something. And the woman took it as, like, I had it.
Oh, God.
Of course.
So I'm actually on John Jones's side with this.
100%. Well, the minute you said it was a woman, I'm on John Jones's side.
Well, why is that, Bill?
Because he's got a rainbow jacket on. Look at his fucking jacket.
Because a woman is going to overreact to a comment like that in a way that a man won't. I mean, that's not a misogynistic comment.
Do you have a seat on that fucking bike? Or you just...
It's just a pole. It's just a pole gun. You know that. Come on.
You know, I'm just kind of done with these random drug tests anyway. I just think they're not...
You know what? It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. The whole world needs to tell these guys to go fuck themselves, you know? Because what are they going to do? What are they going to do if all the athletes in the world tell you to go fuck off?
Well, showing up at somebody's house at 3 o'clock in the morning or what, 6 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, pee in the cup.
Yeah.
This is not to a professional fighter on a Sunday morning.
That seems illegal.
It's not a good idea.
I agree with John. Somebody beats on my fucking door at 6 a.m. They're going to fucking hear a bullet.
Yeah. How are they allowed to do that? I don't even understand how they're allowed to go to someone's house unannounced. That's crazy.
They do that all the time. They do that fucking shit all the time. And that's why, you know, that's why all the athletes need to tell the promoters, tell USADA, tell everybody, kiss their fucking ass, you know, because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Do you think there should be no drug testing at all, Don, for fighters?
Yeah. I don't see any reason for it. You know, or they can do it at the site or randomly when it's scheduled, you know. And if the athlete outsmarts the fucking people, well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have
showing up.
I mean, John doesn't have a fight scheduled. I mean, he doesn't have a fight, so he's injured. So, I mean, what's the point? And, right. And also, why are they – I mean, also, if you know you're going to John Jones's house, send the biggest bouncers
– Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
Like, you know, it's just, yeah, it just seemed like it's a bad idea. By the way, so Mayhem.
The whole thing's a bad idea.
Mayhem Miller.
The whole thing's a bad idea, and it's against your constitutional rights, you know?
Yeah. No, right.
I agree.
In the last couple of weeks, there was a guy that bit the guy in the octagon. You see that happen, Don?
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
So,
do you have a video of it?
Yeah, well, there was a fight. Well, basically, you didn't even see the video of the bite, really. There was a great fight. Everyone's like, oh, this is going to be the fight of the year. Two guys were going at it. I think it was like a Mexican guy versus a Brazilian guy. And they were throwing down. And then one guy comes in for he has the other guy's back, like standing. And then he just bit the guy's arm, like
his shoulder, right?
Took a big chunk.
And,
the UFC caught him right away. And the guy said, you know, look, this is not like me. I don't know what came over me. And I don't know what happened. And I don't know. Don, anyone ever bite you?
No, but I had Gilbert Eyeball try to take my eyeballs home. You know, as a souvenir.
Oh, shit. But that was a couple
times. You never saw that fight?
I did see that fight a couple times, right? He like kept going for it.
Yeah, he did about 5 or 7 times. Yeah.
And you still beat him.
And then, yeah, thank God. I mean, thank God he came to fight, because, you know, I had blown my adductor and pulled my groin on the other side, and like, they had no lateral movement, no backwards movement, couldn't drop any knees, you know. But, you know, all he had to do was stay away from me and kick me and punch me, and he'd have killed me. But thank God, you know, he's a fighter. He's a fucking machine, and he came to fight. And so he didn't dance, you know. He's
also a cheater. He's also a cheater who goes for your eyeballs.
Have you done anything, Don, that you were like, you felt like in a panic mode where you might have grabbed someone's balls or finger up the butthole or throat jab or something, a little fish hook or something that was a little like, because you were just in sheer survival mode? You must have said something like that at some point, right?
No, I wish I had fucking stuck my finger up, you know, somebody's asshole a couple of times. Yeah. she wasn't into me at all.
Chris Weidman, his last fight, he was doing great. It was his big return. He had like a year of knee surgery, rehab. This was the big thing. And he was winning. But I don't know if you saw what happened, Don. He kept reaching out with his hands out like this, and he got warned. He poked the guy in the eye twice, and then he dropped him, but he dropped him with like eyes. It should be a no contest. The guy fell down after Chris poked him, and it looked like Chris dropped him, and Chris celebrated and won, and they announced him as the winner. Unfortunately, in the replay, he did poke him. Like, he did
beat
him.
So what is it now? DQ?
No, they're still giving Chris the win. I think people like him that much. Where?
Oh, wow.
Good. Well, I'm glad he got the win. I'm glad he finally got a win. You know, it's been what, 4 years?
It's been a while. Over the weekend, Chris Curtis fought Allen. If you watched that fight, Brandon Allen versus Chris Curtis. Great fight. Could have won either way. It was an awesome, might have been one of the better fights of the year. They gave it to Allen. Think it could have went to Curtis, but it was one of those fights where it could have won either way. Leave it to the judges. There was one fight on the card where the guy won 30-27, 30-27, or 29-28 against this guy, the Leech. The Leech versus Alex Hernandez. He won 29-28, 29-28, which was easily... And then the one judge had it 30-27 for the other guy, which it made no sense. I mean, that made
–
luckily, the other judges had it right. But the judges should all be required.
Well, that's not the first time we've seen that, though. You know?
Yeah,
that's a pandemic in the fight game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's –
Do they reveal who the judge is? I mean, are they like, look at this judge? I mean, are judges ever like held to like a yearly evaluation where they get booted out if they're not
– I don't think so.
No, I think
–
The problem is it's not – they're not part of the UFC. They're part of the whatever state commission.
Athletic commission, I mean, yeah.
If it was up to Dana White, he would just boot fucking judges left and right. But unfortunately, I don't think he could actually do that.
That's wild that he can't have his own – judges for his promotion. I guess it's just the way it is for every fight.
Government overreach, brother. Government overreach.
So there was a fight over the weekend that might have been the worst thing I've ever seen. And this girl, supposedly a judo champion, this girl. I don't know how this girl... I mean, Don, you were a judo champion, but...
Yeah.
Talk to me about this, Don. So the girl, the fat girl, the bigger girl is the judo champion.
Oh my god, what was that?
And then she loses.
Wait, how did she even fall?
She fell.
Did she get punched or she just fall?
No, she went in for like a double leg, but it was like a tip over double. Look.
And then she just fell. That was it.
I mean, Don, how was that?
That was what New Jersey and New York felt. That's what that was.
Don, how does that person?
5 and Richter.
How is that person a champion in judo? Like, how is that?
Well, judo is not. Judo is a slow sport, you know, where you. It's called the gentle way, which is complete bullshit. But you fight relaxed until you go boom. You know, it's like boom, boom, you know, you don't come in on gear up. You just relax, and then you're trying to throw the person using their body and your body, you know.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Judo champion of what promotion? It could be like she's a judo champion of Delaware.
I think no, but another country. I don't know where she's from, like Czechoslovakia or something, or some kind.
Yeah, maybe some country where 14 people do it.
Yeah, she might be the only one in that weight class, which is like excessive or extreme.
Then there was a couple things. By the way, Don, did you ever meet Sergeant Slaughter?
Yeah, nice guy.
Really nice guy?
Yeah. What happened?
No, I just watched a documentary on him. And the guy is hilarious. So he wasn't even a sergeant. Well, first of all, I feel kind of duped. He never served any military time. He
was never pro wrestling.
Yeah, like he
can't believe it.
Well, I thought he was at least a sergeant. He was watching like MASH or something or whatever he was watching one day, and goes, "I want to be that guy." And then he was brilliant at it.
So his last name isn't Slaughter either.
That's not Slaughter.
God damn it!
So he ends up he ends up leaving WWE because the G.I. Joe wanted to give him a deal, and the WWE had like a Hasbro deal, but they were paying more to do G.I. Joe. So he left for like 6 years. And then when they brought him back as like the bad guy where he turned his back on America. And it was right when we were like at war with Saddam Hussein. So he takes a picture with Saddam Hussein, with somebody else, and photoshops Saddam Hussein's face in it. So it's him and Saddam Hussein. Dude, he got more death threats from his family. They had to have protection at his house. His kids had to have protection. He got stabbed 4 times.
Whoa.
The dude was
this a documentary on Netflix?
It's on A&E.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dark really side of the ring or what?
No, because the dark side of the ring, it's always negative. It's always like the guy ends up dead or stabbed or murdered or like Slaughter had like a pretty good life. Other than like not having as much time for his kids as he probably wanted to and should have. But he seemed like a pretty normal guy.
Nobody does in wrestling. And when you're an athlete, period. You're a fucking athlete. You never get to see your kids.
Yeah. Did you see the Iron Claw, Don?
No.
Oh, my God. Have you seen it, Adam?
No, I heard it's great, though.
Oh, both you guys. I mean, I'm sure you know the family, the Von Erichs or whatever
Von Erichs.
Von Erichs.
But, yeah, it's their story. I mean, that story is the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my fucking life. It's crazy.
It's shocking, yeah.
Not as depressing as Roadhouse, the movie.
Oh,
which was that piece of shit.
Did Adam make an appearance in that, too?
Oh, I would have loved to. I would have loved to.
You'd have been better than Conor McGregor, I'll tell you that.
People seem to like him, but they said he was the best part of the movie.
Because, I mean, come on. Did you see it?
No.
No, you get Don Fry in that part, and that's a good movie.
Yeah, I believe that. By the way, last week, PFL, they have these fights. They don't tell anybody. They're on different nights of the week. They just show up. And nobody knows. Like, I know the people fighting personally, so I tune in. But if I didn't know the person, I don't understand.
Yeah.
They spend so much money on everything but a commercial or, like, an advertisement. All they need is a commercial. Like, why wouldn't they have a commercial during a UFC event? Like, makes no sense. But Tall Steve lost. I saw that. He won the first, and then he just kind of gassed. Bryce Meredith, who was an amazing wrestler from Wyoming, he won. Although he fights pretty stupid. These guys, Don, they need you, man. These guys, they're all national champion wrestlers or all-American, and they just want to throw strikes. Right. They all just want to punch. They all just – it's like – right. Did you fall into that at all or no?
Well, I was a pro boxer, remember?
Yeah, but you were a better wrestler.
I also had two other styles to rely on, so – wasn't right. Like, you know, I didn't try and kicking, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What did you start first? What was your first discipline, Don?
It was wrestling. Excuse me. And then after college wrestling, I did a year and a half pro boxing. that was long enough for me to decide I wasn't good at it. And then I picked up a couple years later, started the judo.
Well, if there's one thing that Jake Paul has proved, is that you don't need boxing to be a good fighter. And that is probably right ahead of judo as the least important martial art, because he's beating guys that he would never win in a fight, in an actual MMA fight. He would never beat Nate Diaz, Ben Askren, or Tyron Woodley in a fight, in an octagon. But he's knocking them out in boxing, which shows you how little boxing you actually need to be a good fighter. I mean, to be a good,
how the rules, it shows you how rules benefit people, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%.
And also how steroids benefit people.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't want to see him knock out Mike Tyson. We saw Evander Holyfield get the shit beaten out of him by Vitor Belfort recently.
Shit, I missed that.
Yeah, Vitor Belfort wouldn't last a round with Holyfield. And Holyfield's prime, 5 years out of his prime, 10 years out of his prime.
You got to understand, Holyfield's brain is jelly, you know? And he took too many fucking punches. And once your brain's that soft and has rattled around your head that much, you know, it doesn't take much to knock you out. It knocks you off your equilibrium and, you know, put you out.
Justin James, you're speaking of brain with jelly.
Yes, sir.
How are you? So, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, what's going to happen?
And let me tell you, a huge Mike Tyson fan. We're talking about one of the most dangerous human beings to ever walk the planet. But, you know, as I'm talking to you guys and listening to the brain being jelly, that's my biggest concern. You know, I'm sure he has an incredible.
All right, Justin, is there anything?
Somebody's got worse internet than me.
Yes, Justin, your internet's actually worse than Don Fry's. I can't believe it. How long are you gonna be in the car for?
5 minutes.
Are you gonna have internet in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'll be on in 5 minutes.
Can you come back in five?
Yep.
All right, thanks, brother. Appreciate it, Justin. All right. I'm trying to be, by the way, Mayhem Miller, a little thing on him. He's doing great. He's coaching. He's at Fight Science. He just did Adam Carolla's podcast. He did Fighter and the Kid.
Good.
A part of me really wants to get him back on the podcast, but he's doing so good without me. I don't want to jinx
him. Well, you can bring him back as a guest. Can you bring him back as a guest?
I know, but he's one of those guys that you know that really toxic chick that you're like, oh, I'll just fuck her once. And then and next thing you know, she moves in. Of course.
I'll just call her wife.
Of course I'll have him as a guest. But by the way, we had to remove that podcast from last week because that the guy, Alex, he asked me. But I've had a lot of people reach out to Alex from the podcast, one of them being Mayhem. So I connected Mayhem with Alex, and Alex seems to be doing a lot better.
The podcast was up. He saw it, and then he was like, whoa, take it down? Or did he ask immediately?
I think it was also like some legal problems he had with people or other people.
Oh, yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
You're fucked up, and Mayhem Miller makes you a better person. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know what it was? You know how sometimes like you have like a kid in wrestling who's like, you have like one kid that's like really bad and another kid that's good, but he's also bad behavior. So you're like, hey, can you work with him? Like you trick him into thinking he's a good kid. It was a little bit of that. Like, you know what? I think this will help Jason, because he's actually really good at advice. Jason's actually a good person. When I have problems, Jason helped me out a lot.
He's smart as shit too.
He's really good at helping other people. It's just taking his own advice that he's not good at all.
Right. Everybody's that way.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. No, you're absolutely right. Nate Dutrain won a couple weeks ago, and he's one of these guys that just gets the shit beaten out of him. He gets mad and then wins. But like he goes. So he even said, he goes, as soon as I'm losing, that's when I win. Like, he goes, you know, he's one of those guys that like needs to get rocked to wake up to win. Yeah. Which is always guys that are like, you know, fun to watch. Dom, were you that way at all?
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, first time I was in the UFC, you know, I went lumbering out there, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And a guy whacked me right in the nose and wake up, Fry, you're in a fight, you know.
Wait, was that that? Wait, that was that like 400-pound Street Fighter guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
he cracked my nose. And I was, damn.
Wow. Wake up. By the way, a friend of mine who's a big, big, big TV producer is doing a documentary, I think, on Dan Severn. So,
oh, yeah.
So I got to get him. Man. So I want to get him in contact with you.
Yeah.
To talk to some of
them. Dan's a good guy, man. Dan's a great guy.
Yeah.
How many times did you fight him?
Never did. He got me into the UFC.
No, that was his coach. Wow. That was his coach.
Oh, wow. I thought they were around the same time, though. No?
Yeah, we were. He got me in. I helped him train for the Ultimate One. And then I was in his entourage throwing t-shirts and Water Boy, you know, and then he got me a couple of fights. And then about the first part of February, the UFC called, asked if I wanted to be in their fight.
Did anyone ever offer you the fight against him?
Against Dan? Yeah. I was supposed to fight Dan. Because he was the world heavyweight champion, UFC world champion. And after I won the Ultimate, I was supposed to, whoever won the Ultimate was supposed to fight. But I broke my hand in the tournament. And so it took 6 weeks, you know, 6 to 8 weeks to heal. And then the fight was probably 10 weeks away. So there's no way to train, you know.
Did you and Dan have an agreement? Like, you guys would fight each other? Do you guys ever talk about it?
No, but I wouldn't have fought him. He, you know, he's too good of a friend. He, you know, he did a lot for me. So why would you bite the hand that feeds you, you know?
Were you in his corner when he lost to Hoist Gracie?
No. That's when I said, fuck, there's Dan Severn. That's when I got on the phone, called him up.
I was so pissed. Because I remember watching that in college. My whole college wrestling team watched that. And Dan was beating the shit out of him for what was like 30 minutes, 40 minutes?
15 or 14, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Just killing him. And then Dan says he looked in the crowd and he saw Hoist's dad and he was going to let him kill his kid. And that's when he kind of let himself get triangled or something. Do you think there's any truth to that or no?
Dan's a soft-hearted guy. You know, he still tell you he's never been in a fight. It's all competition, you know?
Yeah. That makes
sense. Dan's a good man. He's a good man. Got a good heart.
That makes sense. But meanwhile, I was thinking about that, dude. I still, to this day, I'm 45 years old. I haven't weighed in since I was 17. And I still have an eating disorder from wrestling. I still have.
Are you serious?
Dude, I check my weight. And then if I'm heavy, I get depressed. I'm bummed out all fucking day. I'm like, how do I lose this 5 pounds, 6 pounds, 7?
Wait, I saw photos of you in Vegas 20 years ago. You're rather heavy then, boy. You
know? Probably. You're absolutely right. But when I was like 18, 19, 20, I was fucking shredded. And I never missed weight. There were kids on my team that missed weight. But my attitude and how I felt about myself was all about how I weighed in and how much weight I had to lose. And it was such a fucked up mentality. And it kind of ended
up. You still have that now? How much you weigh now?
183 at 185. I mean,
if you get up to 190, then you're depressed.
Yeah. A little bit. I'm like,
embrace it, buddy. Embrace it.
It fucks up my life with my wife, with my kid. I'm like thinking about it. I go to bed unhappy. And I have nothing to, I'm not cutting weight at all, but I still, to this day, like how I felt, like there were two kids my year that died cutting weight. They ended up
Holy
dying.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They ended up like dropping dead. They were in the sauna.
How was your program not shut down after that?
It wasn't in my school. It was in my league though. Oh. They ended up, okay. One of them took the bike into the sauna and,
God,
I used to do that too much. Yeah. And then that's why I decided never cut weight again. You know, I went to heavyweight, and yeah. I was I went to the Concord International Greco-Roman Tournament, and they gave us 5 pounds, and then I went and had breakfast, and I was 1 or 2 pounds overweight, but I had 2 hours to make weight. And I said, nah, I'll just go up.
Did you win it?
Stupid. Huh?
Did you win a tournament?
Fuck no. Fuck no. The Russian who was an 8-time world champion got a hold of me, and I don't even think he broke a sweat.
Justin, did you have that? Because I still have an eating disorder, and my mental, how I feel about myself is all about whether I'm like heavy or not.
I can relate, man. You know, from going from 145 to, you know, walking around to 185 or Russell 165 in college, I have really bad body dysmorphia issues, I believe, from all the weight cutting going on. Weight cutting fucking sucks, dude. It literally takes years off your life, man. Like I said, when I was in, I was crying, man. My second fight in the UFC, I had to make 145 on short notice. I was literally trying to cry at least, you know, I felt like I was crying without tears running down my face. But yeah, dude, that's some bad shit right there, especially getting in the bathtub, getting in the sauna. That's miserable, man. There's nothing worse.
Dude, I was so sucked out. If I brushed my teeth, I would gain weight. Just on the water from the toothbrush hitting me. Because I was cutting to 134 from 155 every week from Monday to Thursday, having salad sandwiches, which is just a two pieces of bread with a salad in there. And then sleeping with the window open so I would shiver off at night, or sleeping with 9 layers on to sweat everything. And then you want to kill somebody. You're so fucking dehydrated. Anybody that touches you or bumps into you, like, you're a fucking, you're a starved dog. Now, when you won that, was that the first fight or second fight? The one that you knocked the kid out in like 30 seconds?
Yeah, Frank Camacho, that was a short notice fight to 55. So I only had to cut from 175. It was a relatively easy cut, man. And getting the call to the UFC, my motivation, I would run through a brick wall to make weight that time. My opponent didn't make weight, though. I think that's why he got knocked out so easily. I barely touched him and he was done.
Well, they had four people miss weight last week at the Apex, which I think is also unprofessional. I mean, sure. I mean, this is.
That's your fucking job. You know, that's your fucking job. That's the most unprofessional thing you could do, you know, miss weight.
Now, did you see that fight 2 weeks ago where the guy went in for a single leg and hit the kid's hip? And then knocked himself out going in for a single.
I didn't see the fight, but I've seen it happen in college a bunch where people, you know, they shoot in on a double and they'll use the hip bone like a thrust forward before they sprawl. And I've seen guys knocked out that way many times.
Yeah.
You think that's from bad weight cut or just angles?
I think maybe a little mixture of both, man. You know, just really depending on how bad the weight cut could be, dehydrating your brain like that can make it mush. You know, especially with that kind of force, you know, it's a train wreck collision. Someone's coming forward, shooting a single or a double, you know, as hard as they can. And that hip bone is hard, and thrusting your hips forward, running into that can do some damage. I know a guy in high school, he got all his teeth knocked out from a hip bone, from a hip bone, sprawl before.
Damn. Yeah, dude, we had a kid. I always know like how fucked up a kid is by like when I'm coaching, how hurt he is. If I can make the kid laugh, you know, like I'll come over and I'll be like, I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, look at that.
I gotta go for a while. I'm sorry.
All right. I'll say something like, I won't say vagina on your face, but I'm like, oh my God, like, man, when do you get so ugly? Or just something. And then if the kid smiles, I'm like, oh, he's okay. We had one kid break his femur in middle school wrestling. It was like the weirdest thing where he just didn't sprawl. Kid shot in on him. He didn't sprawl. Kid came back. Luckily, the kid was from Russia and his father was some kind of a world champion or something, Greco. So his dad was there and his dad totally saw what happened and understood, because you get the wrong parent and your whole program could shut down, you know? Yeah. So I
feel like I see so many videos of like wrestling matches in high school or college where either they fight or a parent comes running in charging like the other guy. Maybe it's like the same, but I feel like they're all over TikTok and Instagram now.
Yeah.
Did that ever happen to you, Adam? Did parents ever try to fight, or did kids ever try to fight when they were losing?
We've had kids before where like almost get into like, it got too aggressive and the ref says, calm down or whatever. And there was a kid that came to join the team and he was out. He had one practice And then we had a match, and he was a bigger kid, big football kid. So I throw him in there because I'm like, all right, this kid's strong. And he gets in there, and he just starts going like this with his hands, like Nick Diaz. And then so I was like, yo, you can't punch him. And then the ref looks at me like, shouldn't he know this? And then I had a kid one time, this kid, Taekwon, this little black kid that was just so athletic. And he was just
Taekwondo?
Just Taekwon. And he would get into a three-point stance, right? The other kid must have wrestled the whole year. This, like, nerdy white kid. Our kid got like was there for a week, got into a three-point stance, and just tackled the kid. Even, wrapped him like this, you know?
One tackle.
And then I'm like, let him up. So he just kept building a lead, you know, like 10-4. And the kid won. I felt so bad for the other kid because he probably didn't ever practice. And this athletic, and he's like, I don't got to learn any moves now. I'm like, no, you're going to run into a kid that's going to know you're going to have to. Justin, you coach junior high wrestling, right? Or like.
Yeah. I run a kids program, Extreme Couture, and I run the adult wrestling program as well. Coaching kids is tough, man. You see some crazy shit go on.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's so funny though, man? Like, I'd much rather have a kid get mad when he lost or cry when he loses or my middle school team, every kid that lost threw a chair, fucking punched a window.
They should.
Tossed their headgear. That I can deal with. It's the indifference or I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's worthless. Yeah, worthless, right, Don?
Yeah, they're worthless. You can't count on them fuckers for anything, you know? This kind of person will let you down in a pinch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How bad did you take losses, Don?
Well, I took them terrible, man. Terrible. You know, I cried a few times, you know, in college and after college. And then, you know, I hated Mark Coleman forever. I watched that fight every day for, you know, a couple of years. I'd plot my revenge, you know, and then finally, I saw him at a fight and I said, fuck this, you know. I said, hey, we're too much alike, you know. No sense in fucking hating each other, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I love Mark. Mark's a great guy, man. Shit, great guy. He's a fucking guy. He was born to be a hero, you know. He was born to be a hero. He was on the Olympic wrestling team. He's national champion. You know, he's UFC champion a couple of times. Then he saved his parents from burning fire. That's somebody who's born to be a fucking hero, man. It's like Hercules.
Dude, Kevin Randleman told me. Randleman said that, remember when Coleman lost to Randy? Coleman lost to Randy. And then Tito Ortiz was in the crowd making fun of Coleman. One of the UFCs, maybe UFC 100. Yeah. And Randleman was watching it on TV from home. And he loved Coleman so much, he got and started running to the arena to fight Tito Ortiz. he was down the block and his wife was chasing him with the car, going, get back in the house. His wife's is like beautiful Italian, but like Italian woman. Like, get back. Kevin's like, no, I'm gonna go fight Tito. First of all, how would he even have gotten the arena? Like, he had no plan. But
no credential.
He was like, fuck it. I'm running to fight Tito Ortiz right now.
If he told people that, they'd let him in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin, so Chris Curtis is you're a teammate, right?
Yes, sir. Good friend of mine.
The fight last week, what did you think about what happened?
Man, dude, Chris and Alan are just, man, what a great fight. You know, for being the third time to step in the cage together, you know, it's not really the outcome we wanted. But you know what? He's going to get his 50K bonus. That's all. That always helps, you know, in a close loss like that. You know, it's going to be – it could be nominated for Fight of the Year. You know, there could be a couple more bonuses and awards coming in. I mean, as great as that sounds, the extra money sounds great. I know Chris wanted that win really bad. He's been busting his ass. You know, sparring guards like Sean Strickland, Brad Tavares. My mind's drawn a blank right now, but we got so many great guys at the gym right now. And, to come away with a split decision loss, and arguably the best fight of the year so far. I mean, it's heartbreaking for him, but, dude, he'll be back, man. He's already beat Brandon Allen. Unfortunately, like I said, it just didn't go our way this time. But I'm sure Chris, as long as he's not injured, he'll be back in the octagon within a couple months.
Now Strickland said they spar for one round and Strickland let him win. because he wanted to give him confidence. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know, man. I can't see Sean letting a fucking 10-year-old beat him in a round, let alone his best friend, his really good friend. Maybe Sean lost the round. He's making excuses. I didn't see it, but I did see Sean post that he let him win. And that's another thing. Like, if he let him win, then he goes public with it. I don't know. I think I like Sean a lot.
Why would you do that?
Why would you blast your buddy like, oh, well, I let him win? I don't know. He might have been joking. I don't know, man. Sean's kind of a goofy guy, but
I like how after his friend loses, his best friend loses, his friend's crushed. Like he's like depressed as fuck, and he goes, you know, I let him win, and he makes it all about letting him win and sparring. Like what? That's the funniest worst friend like you could have, but like good friend. All right, so let's go over some of the fights this week because you're gonna be the guy who's probably gonna know the most about these fights. So
maybe.
All right, this week UFC 300,
the biggest UFC of all time.
It's not the UFC 100. I don't think they're ever gonna beat Brock versus Mir. That was probably my favorite UFC ever. It was also Bisping versus Dan Henderson. What was it? BJ Penn versus Sean Sherk was on that, I believe. Was it?
That was a good one.
It was just
Fry versus Abbott, asshole.
Don Fry, Fry versus Abbott. You're right. That's the greatest ever.
Way to go.
This is second. Alex Pereira, who's 9-2, versus Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill's funny because even when you compliment him, he gets mad at you. Someone's like, you're a great fighter. He's like, go fuck it. Like, he's just funny. He's just a funny person. Pereira is a obviously got incredible power, but we don't know how good. I mean, I think almost sometimes it'll take a wrestler to beat him. And other than Izzy landing in those crazy punches, but Jamal is not a wrestler. He's a striker. Who do we like in this fight, Justin?
You know, I'll tell you this, Jamal Hill, he's from Michigan. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Me and Jamal came up on the regional circuit together. It's hard. The thing with Jamal Hill is everything he said he's going to do, he's done. He's only had one loss in the UFC. He never lost his UFC championship. Now, I talked to Jamal last week or maybe the week before because I was trying to get him to come on my podcast. Not to mention, we're smoke buddies. But with that being said, Jamal told me, and he's went public with it, he told me that he thinks Alex Pereira's striking is way overestimated. He's not very impressed with it, and he's going to go out there to put a striking clinic on Alex Pereira. I don't agree with the game plan. I think he should mix in with some wrestling and some grappling and then put his striking at the end of that. But Jamal always, he does what he says he's going to do. He's a lot like Sean Strickland when Sean fought Alex. It's like Sean has great wrestling. He has great grappling, but he wants to stand and bang. And that's what Jamal Hill wants to do. So, Jamal is so smart, so precise, man. He's knocked out so many Brazilians. Remember when he knocked out Johnny Walker? It was a very strange way he cracked him. And Johnny's arms kind of went out to the side like he was on the cross and he just fell back. If you haven't seen it, it's a really weird knockout. But with that being said, Alex says he's going to avenge all his fellow Brazilians. Losses, man. I got to go with Jamal Hill here. I think his confidence is radiating. He's never officially lost a title fight. He never really lost his belt. So in my opinion, this is champion versus coach, champion versus champion right now. And I'm rooting for the underdog, Jamal Hill, from my Michigan roots.
Don?
Wow.
Yeah, I agree. I go with Jamal on this one. He's a champion, and you become a 25% better fighter when you're the champion, just by, virtue of having that belt wrapped around your waist. I think he's got his shit together. And, he'll submit or knock the guy out.
All right, based on Justin's thing, I think now I'm going for Pereira. Because if he's going to do the Strickland message thing of just trying to get into a kickboxing fight with a guy who's a kickboxing champion many times over, how is he going to do that? Bill?
Well, I got to quote Gordon Ryan here. Gordon Ryan said, whenever you get Brazilians in their feelings and emotional, they lose. Like, they're not good at negotiating their feelings with their fighting. That's what he said. And then he would beat all the Brazilians who got mad at him.
Yeah, but this guy's not in his feelings. Yeah, but Alex isn't in his feelings at all.
But I thought you said he wanted to revenge all the Brazilians.
Yeah, he did say he wanted to revenge all the Brazilians.
Oh, all right.
That's
all right.
Pretty, like, that's a pretty like, emotional thing to go. I don't know. That's just something Gordon Ryan said he believed, that Brazilians right. can't do emotions.
do we want to discuss the Zhang Weili, Zhang Xiong? Do you train?
I'll be honest, Adam. I can't tell them apart. You put them side by side. They look like sisters when they fight. I wouldn't know who's who, to be honest.
I think Zhang Weili is going to win. That girl's just on a different level, especially because she has wrestling now. Justin Gaethje.
I think she's awesome.
Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. This fight, I mean.
That's a good fight.
This is one of these fights in any era of fighting would be an amazing fight. This is basically like Gotti Ward, but with more skills than Gotti Ward. Two guys that are never in boring fights. That sometimes fight reckless. I don't know if they're in their prime. I wouldn't say they're in their prime, a little bit past
no.
their prime, but not really, not over the hill, not
no.
not spur. I think
they're still outstanding athletes and fighters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Max Holloway wins this. Don Fry, who wins this fight?
I'm sitting this one out, buddy, because I like them both, you know. I like them both. And I'm not gonna pick a fucking fighter. I think this fight ought to be the semi-main event on the card.
Yeah, I agree.
Justin?
Yeah, I agree with Don. I think this definitely should be the co-main event. Justin Gaethje being one of my favorite fighters of all time. We're talking about one of the best strikers in the featherweight division ever. Now, I have to favor Justin Gaethje in this fight. I feel he's going to be a little reckless. I saw what Dustin Poirier did to Max Holloway a couple years ago, and I think it's going to be a similar result. I really want to see what Max's physique looks like going up to 155. Justin has incredible. I've been fortunate to train with him. He has incredible, incredible leg kicks. Some of the best I've ever, most powerful I've ever felt. And those overhands, his relentless pressure. You know, I think Max can snipe him. But again, can he put him away? Can he produce enough power to put Justin Gaethje away? I think there's only one person to ever do it, and that was Eddie Alvarez. I just don't know if Max will have enough power to put Justin Gaethje out. Remember, this is a 3-round fight. If it was a 5-round fight, I'd give Max a little bit more edge. But in a 3-round fight, I think Gaethje can weather the storm, and I really think he can put Max Holloway out in 3 rounds.
Now, when you train with Gaethje, do you guys spar?
Yeah, we spar. This is a couple years ago, though. It hasn't been in the last 2 years.
Who won?
Oh, dude, I obviously whooped his ass. That's why he left the gym. That's why he didn't come back.
All right. That'll be the title of our podcast.
But he's one of your favorite fighters, too. Yeah,
exactly.
I can't tell the Asian girls apart.
Zhang Weili, man, I think she's kind of hot, dude. And she gets in there and bangs. Like, you know, fuck, I'll take either of them. I don't care.
She is. Yes. Now. This fight, who do we like?
I mean, I like Justin just because I think Justin's got the knockout power, you know?
Yeah.
And I just like the way he fights.
He fights like such an idiot, but it works for him. He fights like, it's not an idiot, but like, you're like, this, how is he going to pull this off? And he's won 25 fights and lost 4. It's probably the most exciting fighter in one of them.
Yeah.
Charles Oliveira versus Armand Sarukian. I don't know much about Armand Sarukian. Justin, talk to me.
Dude, Armand Sarukian is an incredible up-and-coming fighter, dude. His striking is so fast and so dynamic. I don't know if Charles Oliveira will be able to keep up with his striking pace. Now, if Armand drops him, which I do anticipate him to drop Charles Oliveira, or Charles likes to pull guard, look like he's rocked, is he going to engage in grappling? That I don't know. I feel if Armand drops him and tries to finish the fight and engages in grappling, he might find himself in a triangle, an armbar, or a guillotine. But, you know, if he sits back and plays his striking game and picks him apart from the outside, I think Armand can get in there and knock Charles Oliveira out in 2 rounds.
Have you trained with either of these guys?
I have not.
Now, Bo Nickel. Yeah, are you familiar with Don Bo Nickel? You know who he is?
Yeah, the wrestler.
Yeah. So I think he was a 3-time national champion. He was almost, if it wasn't for Dave Taylor, he'd be good enough to make the Olympic team. The guy's a phenom in wrestling. He's next level. But he's fighting Cody Brundridge, who was a good wrestler. I think he was a D2 or D3 wrestler, but I think he was really good. He might have been All-American and junior college All-American. He's bringing in Dave Taylor to train with against Bo Nickel, which is, you know, Bo Nickel is very confident, Don. He's one of these guys that after his first fight, he was calling for the title shot. And look, this is what's gotten him to the point where he, look, this is where he is. You can't argue with success. He's also bringing his camp to him. He's not doing, he brings American Top Team to him. So he took Penn State, put it a part of it into American Top Team, like in one of their facilities, and he brings guys to him, which is dangerous. This usually doesn't work because at a certain level, iron sharpens iron, and these guys are brought in to not hurt you. But it's 5-0, and you can't argue with success. That being said, I think Cody is going to pull off the upset. I do.
Oh,
wow. You heard it here first. We don't know if Bo can take a punch. Nobody knows if this guy can take a punch.
Interesting.
Justin, who do we like in this fight?
I'll be honest, man. I hate to go against you here, but I think Bo Nickel's being served up a softball. We're talking about Cody Brundage. He has 5 losses on his resume. He's 2-1 from wins to losses right now. You got a stud Bo Nickel coming up. You know, the UFC sees a lot of star power behind him, and I don't think they'd put him in a situation, especially for UFC 300. Here's the thing. Bo Nickel is on his uprise as a huge MMA star right now. They're putting him on 300 so guys, the casual fan, can start to see this guy on his uprise. I don't think they're going to put him in a situation this early in his career where he's going to have any issues winning fights. I think he goes in there, dominates the fight, finishes in the first round.
Don.
Yep, I completely agree. You know, there's a hell of a difference between 3-time national Division I champion and a fucking Division III wrestler or a JC national champion. A hell of a difference.
Right. You know? But don't you think that it's not UFC 1 anymore and that people know, like, there's tape on him, there's training partners, like, you know what this guy's going to do. Don't you think, like, there's a lot more ways to study for this and, like, be prepared?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But I think Bo's smart enough to change shit up, you know, and to add to his repertoire.
Now, Justin, do you think being as confident as Bo Nickel is good for him, or do you think it eventually is it arrogance and you don't see and it's too confident?
You know, I don't think he's too confident yet. We're talking about a national champion, man. He's earned that right to show some cockiness. He's earned that right to show some confidence. And I truly believe that the UFC is serving him up right now. You know, like I said, he is coming out and saying kind of some bold, ridiculous things. I saw him this morning. He called Jordan Burroughs a fraud, man. And
I know, I saw that.
That was wild, dude. Like, Jordan Burroughs, to me, is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. You know, for Bo Nickel to go out and say something outlandish like that is he's trying to
get eyes on
it.
Why did he say it? Do you know why he said that?
I guess Jordan said something about him. They went back and forth and he discredited his, you know, a lot of his accomplishments. And in my opinion, Jordan Burroughs is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time next to Don Fry. So with that being said, Cody Brundage, I really just think is being served up. Now, think about, you know, from a business standpoint, Cody's 10-5. He's probably not ever going to be the UFC champ again. He's only 2 wins to 1 loss. You know, he wins, you know, 10 wins with 5 losses. So maybe they just served him up a good contract and said, hey, man, and their team's like, hey, if we put the right game plan, we can win this fight. I just don't see it happening anytime soon.
He also came on my podcast, though, so I'm completely biased. And I think he's training by himself in his garage. So I'm not really sure. Now, Don, were you an All-American, 4-time All-American?
No. I fucked it up. I always got hurt right before the national tournament. So I never even went to the tournament.
Oh, wow. But you were first in the Olympic running.
No, I won the Southwestern Regional Olympic Trials in Greco and freestyle. But once I got to Nationals, I flaked out. You know, I flaked out and got beat out fast. And, you know, they had it in Boca Raton, Florida. You know what else they have in Boca Raton, Florida?
Strip clubs.
Beer and bikinis.
Let's go.
Now, Justin, were you All-American or?
Nope. I fucked it off, man. I was a good high school wrestler. I wrestled varsity 4 years in college, but I never made it to the big show.
But did you win states in high school?
No. I took 4th, and I lost to Drakkar Klaus in the semifinals. I was 57-0. He was 55-0, and I lost to him in the semis and never recovered from that.
Hey, it's okay. I think you've recovered pretty well. Yeah. By the way, Don, if you don't know, this man right here, he was in the UFC. He won his debut in like 30 seconds. He was kicking ass. He was doing great. And then he got injured, came into some fights hurt, put all his money on him to win his fight, ended up losing, and then his wife left him. But now...
Funny how that happens, ain't it? You run out money.
But now he's dating hot strippers, and he brings them to my show all the time. Gorgeous.
Yeah, I got the better end of the deal when I got a divorce. I got a beautiful bulldog.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Much better deal. Much better.
And by the way, you clearly have a career doing broadcast journalism for fighting, obviously. You're great at it.
I really appreciate that, man. I love talking about it. I do a small podcast on my own right now. Well, not on my own, but I do a small podcast on Mondays and Fridays. I'm actually going to have to jump off here to go do that. But I just love being a part of the sport, man. I'm still competing. I fought last month. I'd love to get back to the UFC, but, you know, I had a bad neck injury. I had neck surgery last year and, you know, trying to mend from that. And, you know, I can't fight forever. I'm 34 years old. I've had 77 MMA fights, man. And, you know, hopefully I get picked up by a broadcast crew in the next couple of years.
All right. So two more predictions.
Good luck.
All right. So on this card, Aljamain Sterling is fighting Calvin Kattar. That's going to be a great fight. I love Aljamain. He came and coached my middle school wrestling team. I'll always be
able
to do that. Great guy. People are overlooking him because of his last fight, the not getting knocked out by Sean O'Malley, which I think he just didn't like hearing boos and just took a bad shot. Got a little bit careless. I still think he's one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. You've been training with him, Justin?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very fortunate to call Aljamain Sterling a teammate and a friend, man. This guy, him and I, you know, he's somebody that I really looked up to, especially in the last couple of years. Before he won the championship, he had to get neck surgery. We had the same exact neck surgery. 1 year post-neck surgery, exactly to the day for his, he wins the UFC championship. So he's really somebody when I was, you know, in my recovery state of neck surgery, somebody that I looked up to, somebody that I talked to when I needed advice. With that being said, Aljamain Sterling is an incredible grappler. I do believe you're right, Adam, saying like he was probably sick of hearing the boos and dove in for more of a reckless shot to get cracked. But, you know, Aljamain's going to come in here. He's putting on a lot of size going up to featherweight right now. I'm really excited. If he gets on Calvin Kattar's back, I believe if he gets a body triangle and he can finish Calvin Kattar. With that being said, the opposition, Calvin Kattar, an incredibly fast, dynamic, long striker. Can Aljamain Sterling get on the inside of Calvin Kattar to take him down? That's what's going to decide if he wins this fight or not.
So, all right. And the last one, I mean, first of all, this card is so deep. I didn't even realize how deep this card is. I mean,
crazy. These are the prelims.
The first fight out of it is Cody Garbrandt versus Divizian Figueiredo, Bobby Green, Jim Miller, Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, Jalen Turner, who he's the guy that collects. He was scared of spiders and now he has like thousands of tarantulas against Renato Moicano. He's the guy that won his last fight and made like the pro Trump speech about like it was hilarious. Sadiq Youssef is a guy who was born with like one dad and six moms and a polyamorous relationship. Came over here. He's fighting Diego Lopez, who's the guy that looks like he's the Mexican guy, but in like a boy band or something. Sadiq has just booked he's on a Disney cartoon now where he's playing an African cartoon character that he got from DMing like the guy who was on his Twitter. But Holly Holm, the girl that knocked out Ronda Rousey, who's now saying she had a concussion before that fight by falling down the stairs, which, you know, look, it was so long ago.
It's, who cares? Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Fighting Kayla Harrison, two-time gold medalist, judoka, only girl to ever to do it. Only American to win it two times. This is a girl that was molested by her judo coach, who's now in jail for life. Her sister had some problems. She adopted the two sisters, sister's kids. So now she has two kids. Beautiful woman, great woman. And she going down to 135. She's already won $3 million with the PFL by winning that tournament every single year, either $2 million or $3 million. Fighting Holly Holm. I think Kayla just smokes her. I think she goes in there, balloons up, gets up to 170 when she comes in there, 180. Takes her down and submits her. Justin.
man, this is a great fight for me. I'm a huge Holly Holm fan. I think she's so fucking hot. We're talking about the farmer's daughter here getting the crossover from Kayla Harrison in the PFL. Kayla's coming off a loss, you know, in the PFL. She lost in the finals last year. I'm trying to think of the woman she lost to. But with that being said, you know, once you get that kind of fame and that kind of money, where's your motivation to train? So, and not to mention, she's going down to 135. I've stood next to Kayla Harrison. She's as big as I am. I'm a featherweight to a lightweight. This girl's shoulders are bigger than mine. I mean, her trap, she reminds me of Brock Lesnar. Can she make weight? 135 is going to be a huge weight cut for her. Now we look at the opposition, Holly Holmes, the former UFC champ that's known across the world for knocking out Ronda Rousey with that brutal head kick. We already know Holly can go five, or this is going to be a three-round fight. Holly can go the distance. You know, Kayla, I feel, watching her in the PFL, you know, I'm a big PFL fan. I got a lot of friends that fight in the PFL. Ray Steffo, the president of the PFL, trains and works at Extreme Couture. So I'm involved in the PFL a lot. I've seen Kayla fight a lot. I feel she tends to fade going into the third round. If Holly Holm can put a pace on her and not get taken down, I think Holly Holm can come away with the upset here.
Don Fry.
I agree with him. I think Holly Holmes is hotter than fire. You know?
That's exactly hot. I think she's so freaking hot. Everyone's like, dude, I don't think she's that hot, dude. I think she's rocking, smoking hot.
Is she single?
I do too.
She's not. She's married. Her husband's always at her fights. He probably wouldn't.
No, they got divorced. They got divorced.
Oh,
hey,
then I'm sliding.
There you go, Justin.
DMs. Sliding into the DMs, guys.
All right. Well, Justin, I know you got to go. Thank you for taking the time to do this, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Adam. Anytime you want to chop it up, give me a call.
The best.
Nice to meet you, Burner.
Appreciate you guys. Hey, see you, Don. See you guys.
No problem.
Cheers.
All right. So that was Justin James. Yeah, man, this whole card is really, really good. Diego Lopez, Sadiq Youssef is going to be good. Bobby Green, who's like career resurgence now. He's been knocking everyone out.
Crazy.
Versus Jim Miller, another guy who's at 17. This is the
Jerry is in the prelims too. I mean, he's freaking great.
Against Rejic, I'm more looking forward to the prelims than the actual main card, to be honest. Well, I mean, Holloway, Gaethje, I guess, Nickel, Brundage, but I'm looking forward to those more than I am Armand, even though, I don't know. All right, let's switch it up a little bit. Goals for the rest of 2024. What are your goals, Don Fry?
I want to try and get healthy and start working out and you know, become a man again. Oh, shit. A man again, not a mannequin. Not a mannequin.
A man again. When was the last time you worked out?
Years, buddy, years.
So what are you going to try to do, like cardio, or are you going to go right to the weights?
I haven't done anything, buddy. I haven't done anything. I bet it's been since 10, you know, 2010, you know, because I had so many damn back surgeries throughout the years. And other shit happened. So I'm open. I'm open to get my head on my ass and get back after it, man.
You know? Hell yeah, man.
What about you, Bill?
I just want to ride on your guys' coattails this year and see where it gets me. You know
Come
what
on.
I mean?
I mean, are you any more TV shows you got in the?
Well, I mean, honestly, I have season 2 of Mo coming up, and then. After that, my goal this year is obviously to be a series regular. You know, that's what I want. That's where I'm at, I think. And it's just kind of, you can't really control it, but then there's smaller goals.
That's
a
small movie.
Man, I'm at the point now where I'm older and fatter. I could be like a heavy.
Yeah.
Just once I grow my facial hair.
By the way, I had a great time at the Laugh Factory. Thank you for booking me.
Of course you were great.
And you did great.
Thank you, sir.
I loved all your new shit. That was a fun show. A lot of fun. Well, this year I'm gonna sell Pin, by the way. So I don't know if you guys know, I you were in it, obviously, Bill, but Donna made this TV show about a wrestling coach and his team of misfits. And I went out and I fucking Indiegogo'd it and raised his money. We went out and shot a great sizzle, and now it's just like sitting there. And so I want to sell it. I'll fucking sell it. And I'm also going to shoot a kamikaze special where I'm going to do an hour special where people don't know where they're going to see me. So
that's great. I think that is uniquely your wheelhouse that nobody else can do, Adam.
I'm going to sign up.
Nobody sees him when he's on stage.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And then this Wednesday I'll be on Gutfeld again. Wednesday night on Fox News, but, Don, thank
you. Tell that cheap old leprechaun midget, you know, to get me on that damn show with that.
Yeah, me too. Me and Don both.
Yeah.
Dude, I will. I 100% will. I
increase Objective's ratings.
Don, I will, and I have.
In fairness, so, Don first, and then after Don, me.
Yes,
Don first.
What are you guys, Don? When's your next podcast?
It should be Wednesday.
All right, Dan and Don's. Who's the guest?
I'm not sure who we're having as a guest this time. It's being fumbled around.
Got it. Well, thank you guys very much, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, partner.
Bye.
Cheers. See you, partner.
Take care, bud.